Previously on 24.
What if I can get us a copy of Keeler's playbook?
What exactly do you mean by playbook?
His entire prep for tonight's debate.
Damn it, I told you to drop that.
You just listen to me. There is something you need to see.
There's nothing I need to see.
It's about Anne. It's something that we didn't know about her. Something that could damage all of us.
Can I talk to you now?
Yeah, of course. Okay, what's up?
Chase and I have been going out for a while. And it's starting to get serious. I really care for him, Dad. So what do you think?
I don't know what I think.
We want the release of Ramon Salazar. If you refuse to comply, the virus will be unleashed.
It looks like the virus was delivered in a crystalline form. Maybe what you're looking for is a white powder.
It would look like a bag of cocaine
or heroin. Yeah, that may even be the strategy. Someone thinks they're selling a bag of coke when in fact they're handling the virus.
Where did you get that money?
It doesn't matter, okay? We needed it. I got it.
So this is how you're gonna help your family? By dealing drugs?
I'm not dealing them. Stupid delivery.
If that kid's walking around with a bag of cocaine that's got the virus in it, he doesn't know it. I need to find him and stop him from putting it into circulation.
You didn't shoot up, did you? What? You think you can hide it from me?
I'm not trying to hide it from you. I'm trying to quit.
Okay, people don't just quit, Jack.
I am not going on record with this addiction. Do you understand me? You're the only person who knows about it. It's gonna stay that way.
Give me an update. Kyle's still in this house.
What about the package?
It's with him.
In Ramon?
Just waiting to come home.
Good.
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 4 p.m.
My name is Kiefer Sutherland, and sitting next to me is our fantastic writer and producer, Howard Gordon, and we are watching episode 3. Season 3, 24, and we're going to
see what it's about.
Watch it, yeah. We're going to talk to you about some of the things that were happening while we were shooting it. And Howard will hopefully talk about some of the ideas and how these ideas were formed to come up with the script and that we shot.
One thing I do remember about it, now that I'm looking at it, is that this is around the time the audience wasn't experiencing this from your point of view entirely.
Right.
And that was, I think, a narrative experiment that, you know, I think it was hopefully largely successful.
But yeah.
I will say that the unchanged genesis of the story was Tony getting shot. We, honest to God, were looking for a shocking... Well, this was actually a very interesting, very debated scene. Remember, we went back and forth on whether to include this scene in it. Reestablish the addiction... Originally, this scene was placed quite a bit later in the episode. What about the tattoo, Kiefer? Is that a...
That's a real tattoo.
You still have it? There he goes.
It's a real tattoo.
That's commitment.
Till this afternoon, I was doing fine. You know,
I was always very happy with this moment in terms of any opportunity to suggest a history that preceded this day always gives it a kind of third dimension that feels real to me. I always loved that moment. I mean, this really is a bread and butter episode. I think it's... There's a threat, there's a pursuit. I think in some ways the series really got to start on its feet in this particular episode. It had a little energy that I think the other two were setting up.
Yeah.
Almost 95% lethal. I've been hunting germs for 12 years and I've never seen anything like this.
Great.
Are you feeling okay?
Yeah, why?
You're perspiring.
It's been nonstop since noon. Look, we're going to be about 8 minutes out.
And one of the things that we tackle, certainly in the show, is one of the great problems about the virus is the ability to distribute it on any mass level. That's why the ventilation system had to be used in the hotel and specific delivery devices that we had invented for the show. In a reality, it's not a huge concern of mine. But obviously, the fear is something that certainly can be tapped into for the drama of the purposes of our show, and is incredibly effective if this scenario were to take place.
And again, for the sake of this episode, the reason we sort of chose to render this particular threat void was because to let the cat out of the bag too early would have been a terrible mistake, so stringing the audience along is never a bad thing. That too with Gael as the mole this year, I think we got a lot of appropriate groans from our fans, and we had the ace in our pocket knowing that Gael was actually in cahoots with
part of the sting.
Have you thought about how it will be when Nuramon comes back?
How it will be? Like it was before.
Things have changed, Hector.
Nothing's changed. It's only been gone 3 months.
You've changed. You've been in charge while he's been in prison. Are you willing to give that up so easily?
There were several triangles at this point that we were looking forward to describing between the two brothers, and then of course we always had we were looking forward to exploding the relationship between Jack and Claudia later on in the season, and of course didn't get a great chance to do that because she had a movie.
This was such a fun storyline too. It really removed my character from CTU, and it really felt like a whole different film.
Yeah,
and they were such fantastic, Vanessa. Joaquin, they're just such fantastic actors. We had an absolute blast doing that.
Hey, how was the interview?
And it's sad because you get to work with the guy who's playing the bad guy, and you know at some point they're probably gonna lose, and so the dynamic of that relationship is already set. But if you can work together for 10 or even maybe 13 episodes. I had that with Michael Massey in the first season.
Mm-hmm.
Just, we've had such great luck with the quality of actors that we've had on the show. But it's always so frustrating that, you're not going to be able to work together for years.
Well, even if you're a good guy.
Yeah.
No, there's no guarantees.
He knows this guy over at the stable, so we got a tip.
Where did you get the money?
Dad, what does it matter?
Honestly, I think Riley Smith did a terrific job. This kid.
Yeah. One of the great disappointments as I'm watching it is that I'm playing a character that's supposed to be old enough to be their father. And somehow in my head, I haven't arrived there yet.
I pay the rent. I take care of you and your mother.
Although I do say stuff like that.
Well, didn't you deal with that in the first season?
Yes.
Wait a second, we're not done.
When did I become the dad?
Don't walk away from me.
You should be thanking me instead of crawling up my ass.
Kyle.
This was a very conscious attempt on our part to try to recapture some of the energy and some of the relatability of that first season.
We think he's transporting the virus, although it's likely he doesn't realize what he's carrying.
How could he not know?
Health Services believes that the virus was made to look like heroin or cocaine. We know that Kyle Singer was hired to deliver a package from Mexico to a dealer in Los Angeles.
He thinks he's smuggling drugs.
That's the working theory. Now, here's the thing. Once Singer delivers that bag of powder, it gets cut up and distributed throughout the city. At that point, it becomes...
Do you remember when you did learn? I can't remember. When did you learn that all this was a sting?
Was a sting? I think we started talking about it
around
as
now.
A potential right about this episode. Well, 3 and 4 were shot together with Ian.
Right.
So it was right about then that, because John Cassar was going to direct 5 and 6, so we started talking about it towards the end of shooting these.
The genesis for season 3 was really to describe the... There's a place called the Tres Fronteros down in... I can't remember which... Some South American country where it really is the nexus of terrorism and drugs and arms. And so that was the...
The modern-day Calcutta.
Yes, or Cyprus.
Better lie than that.
Was Calcutta the...
At a time, yes.
Where are you going?
Wherever.
Hey. It's in the back.
Close.
We'll open it.
What?
Open the bag.
I've never spent as little time as I've spent on this show in the editing room. Normally that's where I spend most of the time on when I'm on a show. And our editors have such an intuitive and deep understanding of the way this show works. You just stay out of their way, largely.
I find that the less people in the kitchen, you know, we all have our departments. And I just think that they've done, you know, they and Joel gets very involved with the editing process as well. But I think they've just done such a fantastic job, and they've won as many awards as they have before that I generally find that if you stay out of people's way, if everything's going well, leave it.
Give it back, Dad.
What did you say?
I need it.
What do you mean you need it? What, are you some kind of junkie?
No. I'm just delivering to this guy, okay? And if I don't get it to him, it's just a guy, okay?
Who? Give me a name.
Kyle, answer your father.
And this is a fantastic, I mean, as I'm watching this scene, because obviously I wasn't there when they shot that because I'm not involved with it. But it's a fantastic aspect of our show where you can actually create a scene like this. This could be a very real drama and have nothing to do with the kind of suspense thriller aspect of a 24. And this is starting to explain to me why so many people can tap into this. Here are two parents dealing with a son who's trying to do, you know, is dealing drugs and dealing, and that's a very real dynamic that I think many parents are certainly scared about, if not having to deal with on one level or another. And so the show works on so many different levels. And then just at the very end of that scene, that bag of powder brings you back to what the real fear is. Mm-hmm. I think it's a real testament to Howard and Joel and Bob and all the writers that have made this as palpable on so many layered levels as they have. But that scene is a perfect example of that to me.
You know, again, I think that for me anyway, starting the season, I'm really curious, Kiefer, if you view it the same way, but this relationship, the Kim-Chase relationship, I mean, we started from the emotional seat that Jack, who'd been through so much, had resolved, after all he's been through, has resolved that you can do this kind of work, but you can't square it with a life.
Right.
And sort of drink of the milk of human kindness. And I think, you know, it echoed through in the Palmer story, with the Michelle-Tony story. And Badge has been...
He's been amazing.
...particularly fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
He's grown this year, I have to say, from the really beginning to, you know...
Well, this dynamic could always have been... Until when? Well, I mean, it was something that everybody always watched very closely to see how it was going to take shape. And I just think Badge Dale is a fantastic, fantastic actor. And he's rooted it in a reality or a believability. That I just think is extraordinary. He's really strong. He's physically strong. He's very rooted as an actor. And that kind of an actor can only benefit from a situation like this because the work is so much that you can't help but learn. And it's done at a pace that requires you to kind of grow with it. And he's just done that on so many levels.
I have to say, just observing as an outsider, particularly when he's with you, or when he acts with you, there's an elevation. You really brought up.
Well, I think that's a two-way street. I mean, I feel the
you
same way
well
working
with him.
Yeah. I just think he's a fantastic, fantastic actor.
Yeah, and his physicality is very
strong.
Strong. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to fuck with
him. He's a hockey player.
Is he really?
Oh yeah.
From New York.
Played pro. Played junior A. Played in the West Coast League out here. I think it was IHL.
I'll be right there.
Don't ask me why, just do it.
I hope you can get a refund.
A refund?
From whoever sold you that load of crap.
David, Keeler is going to use this against you in this debate. Now, ignoring it's not going to make it go away.
Neither will dignifying it with a response.
He's going to. I have to say, this year we struggled with Palmer's story. But the thing that worked for me, at least to sort of introduce where he was in this on this particular day, was his relationship with a white woman, his physician. And again, the fact that she was white was very incidental to it, but what was significant was that she was someone who wasn't prepared to face up to the what being in this world, in his world, required. She was a doctor, not a first lady. We really weren't sure we had a story for him, and it's really a testament to his strength and as a character that we really tried to make it work. And I'll say even the Ann story, we had no idea how long that was going to last, and it wound up lasting 7 or 8 episodes. I can't remember exactly when she left. But it served its purpose, and then we had to figure out what else to do.
Did you ask your friend Jack Bauer what's going on?
And we went to great pains this year, because I felt one of the sort of regrets of the second season was not having an antagonist who was three-dimensional enough. And at the top of this series, of this season, we resolved to create a character who we knew, who was formidable.
You are a dog with a bone, Louise. Once you bite down, you don't let go. When I'm out of here, I don't want you on me anymore.
When you're out of here.
You were right. In a few hours, I'm going home.
Really? And how will you manage that?
Hector's a good brother.
There's a shot coming up that I particularly love.
Unless he's got a key to this place, you're not going anywhere.
But he does have a key. And when he turns it, the last 2 years of your life, all the hours you spent away from your family, all the work you've done to put me here, will go away. Just like that. I wanted you to hear it from me, Louise. I wanted it to be the last thing you ever heard.
It's this one where he looks up.
That actually scared me.
And again, here's a guy who worked his ass off for 3 years trying to put this guy away, left it, probably didn't see his kids, and look what happens to him. One thing I've resolved, I was in England last week and saw Macbeth, and it just reiterated to me that this show is a tragedy in the most classic sense of the word. Just littered with dead bodies, but...
And sacrifice.
And sacrifice, yeah.
I'm just saying that Kyle is in over his head.
We're not calling a lawyer. He hasn't even been arrested.
Not yet.
Well, maybe he won't be. If we leave it alone, don't do anything, maybe this whole thing will just go away.
You can't be serious.
Why not, Sam? Why do we have to let anybody know?
Because it's against the law not to.
What are you suggesting we do? Call the police? Maybe they'll give us a reward and then we can pay our rent? Wait, that wasn't fair. I'm sorry.
I think, again, anytime you take the extraordinarily heightened world of that Jack Bauer lives and works in and interface it with people like me, it's particularly powerful.
This was probably the worst costume I've ever had in my entire career. When we shot this was probably around August. It was about 110 degrees in the valley where we were shooting. And the rubber suit, literally by the time you put the helmet on, you were at least 125 degrees in that suit.
How'd you go to the bathroom?
Or could you? You didn't. You just sweat everything out. It was.
It's a hard thing to look heroic in, isn't it?
Yes. And when I yes, you look like a Smurf with a visor. For the most part, my voice seems to be rather durable. There are some scenes that are particularly hot that I have to be very careful that going from a master through a close-up or to someone else's coverage, I'll have to vary the vocal quality just to protect it. What takes the greatest toll is the energy that it requires to do that, that everything's on such a heightened state that if you're not careful, depending on how busy one day is from another, that you can find yourself at 3 o'clock in the afternoon absolutely exhausted and you're going to be working until 7 or 8. And so this show has been a great education for me in the conservation of energy.
The company was introducing a hypertension drug.
And you reviewed the research.
Yes.
Which later turned out to have been fabricated.
Which Ted knew at the time, and I didn't.
Now Ted's claiming that you both knew.
He can't reverse himself 8 years after giving sworn testimony.
Well, he is. And he's willing to go on record with the press.
I don't know what to say, except he's a liar.
It's your word against his.
David. You have reason to be suspicious. God knows. You've been betrayed by some of the people you've trusted most, but I'm not Sherry. I told you the whole truth once. And I'm not going to defend it. Because if there's anything less than complete trust between us...
I do trust you, Anne.
You should.
He's got such a nice dignity about him as an actor. Well, one of the things I was always most proud of the show and still am, and I believe this very strongly, that if you show something to be possible on television, it can become possible in reality at a speed that is unbelievable. It's
you mean just
true
the fact
power
that we can have a black president?
And the fact that you can show an African-American president in the United States means that somehow on a level, as a culture, we have accepted that as a possibility, and thank goodness for that. And so... And I think he's handled that responsibility because I do think there is an inherent responsibility in that.
I completely agree.
And I think he's handled that responsibility as an actor just beautifully. And you guys as writers.
Yeah, and I think it's really what made that first season not just protecting... it really in some ways was the flowering of, to me, a country that had 120 years ago enslaved blacks. Mm-hmm. And now was capable of healing itself to the point of electing one mm-hmm. to run it. And it was never stated, it was never expressed,
yes.
It was never explicit.
Great.
They want a statement. What do you want me to tell them?
Nothing.
Tony, Warden Mitchell's on the phone. He's calling from the prison. He says it's urgent.
And this is really the beginning. This is the beginning. Right here is what I perceive to be the beginning of our show. In what I believe our show is, which is the beginning of questioning Jack's motives. The beginning of questioning who's playing what side, who's a mole, who's for real, who's straight, who's lying. This is the beginning of that. And you're right, so the first couple episodes are really a setup for the whole season, and this is the episode that we really get going on.
And we found ourselves having to go through every one of these actions, every one of these moments, and trying to defend them to ourselves why Jack would play it this way.
Yeah, this is Bauer.
Jack, it's Tony.
Tony, I think Kyle Singer's been exposed.
Yeah, we've already got an all points on him.
Have you set a perimeter?
And we're doing everything we can to contain this thing. All agencies and departments are in the loop on a need-to-know basis.
Okay, good work.
Listen, Jack, I know this isn't the best time to tell you, but I just got some bad news I figure you want to know about.
What's wrong?
Luis Anacon was murdered.
Murdered how?
Salazar's guard. You've got him in custody. He claims that Salazar had his son kidnapped and threatened to kill him if he didn't do it.
Jack, I'm sorry. I know you two work closely on this case.
Tony, I'm gonna have to get back to you.
Is everything okay?
I'm gonna get back to you.
Jack?
This was the hottest day. We shot this outside. It was about 140 degrees inside that suit. So that by the time I threw up that mushroom soup...
Is that what I was gonna ask?
It was hot. I took it in my mouth, it was cold. By the time it came back out, it was hot.
I can't find
you know, we find ourselves...
That's disgusting. I'm sorry I said that.
No, it was more disgusting to look at it a couple hundred times than, you know...
In the editing.
Much more discreet or less graphic than we watched.
What the hell are you doing? You haven't showered down yet.
We're not at risk.
What are you talking about? I watched the powder get out.
It's harmless, Jack. Some form of silicate, but that's all.
What?
There is no virus in the powder. We tested 5 samples. There weren't even trace amounts. Atmospheric and surface analysis also came up negative, and Kyle's parents tested negative as well.
You sure about this?
The only thing I'm not sure about is if we're on the right trail.
No, the body that was dropped off at health services was linked to Kyle.
I'm looking at this and remembering what a challenge it was for me anyway, having already broken the story, and I think maybe almost finished writing it, when we realized Jack is actually manipulating this entire endeavor at this point. So I'm remembering my own frustration.
Mason said the only way to transport the virus was in crystalline form, right?
Yeah, that's the only way it can survive outside a living body.
What if it was never outside a living body?
What do you mean?
What if the virus was transported inside a living host? What if Kyle Singer was infected earlier this morning in Mexico before he even left?
But Salazar has no leverage if Singer's walking around infecting people.
That's the point. He wouldn't be contagious yet.
The incubation period is 14 hours.
Right. Think about it. We know for a fact that...
Kiefer, I'm blown away by your ability to make this interesting when you're just regurgitating mushroom soup and information.
Speed. Just do it fast.
Do it fast and
really care about it. Well, I mean, and again, one of the most simple things as an actor when it kind of getting yourself involved in the show like this is that as long as you remember that every little thing that you're doing at any given moment, and the real-time aspect has really helped me with this, but that everything that's happening at any given moment matters more than anything else in the world. And once that's clear to you, then all of those things can kind of come into play. And that's in all fairness, that's in the writing, and you can do that.
Not that much.
Linda, listen to me. These guys, they will kill me if I don't get them something. Please, anything will help right now.
Now you want me to get involved in this?
Just let me borrow something, anything. We'll pay you back, I swear to God.
Where are you?
I'm at the mall.
I'll get there as soon as I can.
Thank you.
CTU knows the powder's not real. Now they're going after Singer.
What do you want me to do?
Stay with him. And as soon as he's alone, grab him and take him to containment.
You know, one of the neat things, though, is we're using stuff that are prototypes from companies. Things that won't come out for another year or two.
Apple came down and did
that. Yeah, that's kind of cool. And Microsoft has given us some stuff. And that's neat.
At some point, we actually talked about branding a 24 cell phone, minting our own brand.
That never has bad reception and just works anywhere.
Of course.
It can work in isolation.
Underground.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. All right, Stan. Now make sure you're kept in the loop. What is it, Wade?
I just spoke to Ann's ex-husband. Now listen, all Ted Packard wants is money. If we pay him off, he'll recant before this debate.
It's blackmail.
That's business.
I don't think so.
David, it's a hell of a lot cheaper than trying to defend against this allegation, which is going to...
Again, to me, you know, Palmer's emotional and sort of ethical and moral trajectory, I think kind of like Jack's, is by pushing him further and further into a corner that, you know, and eroding his ideals, we can have the character be something more than just a mouthpiece for the high ground, which is what this character is in danger of becoming.
I can't keep it from her.
Well, that's your choice. But if this comes out, Anne is going to find herself on the front page of every single newspaper in this country. And David, she's not Sherry. She's not equipped to handle that kind of scrutiny.
Truth is, we miss Sherry. One thing I've learned is to give myself over to my unconscious. I mean, and I think we all do that, to trust that it's working at some level. We know when it's time for her to, you know, for characters to enter and when it's time for them to exit.
Keep it simple. We could have the money within the hour.
we decided to do the big reversal in episode 7. I don't think I'm spoiling anything for the people who've seen the show, but for those who haven't, don't listen. But everything that appeared to be the truth at this point, we decided wasn't the truth. And so we had to sort of contort some of the plot points to fit our later reversal. Particularly Kiefer's character, particularly Jack, who I believe at this point you believed all the things you were doing were in fact.
Yes. Well, but one of the fantastic things about for us while we're doing the show is, and certainly in season 3 it's become it's less of a shock than it certainly was in season 1. But you relish those changes, and because my character plays everything kind of straight, it was a fantastic opportunity to bring back what I felt was the real thrilling aspect of the show from season 1, and that true thriller quality of never being able to accept what you see as being what it is.
Tony, it's Jack.
Yeah, Jack, I just spoke to LAPD. They got a priority APB out on Singer.
Okay, good. I think we've got a number on him.
All right, look, we'll thread the line through.
This is an early idea that we, you know, rattled around in the room and exploited in this particular episode. Having the virus, the carrier, the bomb be the a person. Which, again, as I was writing this, you know, it was entirely possible that, in fact, this kid was infected.
What am I supposed to tell him?
The truth. Tony, you set?
Yeah, we're ready.
I'm a firm believer that, you know, you do the work and you do it from an emotional place and it kind of ends up looking the way it does. You know, inside my head I'll have a lot of different images of a variety of different actors that I would like to emulate in a specific moment. And so I always found it very disappointing when I see myself. Yet I have heard from people who have watched the same show or film that have said, what you were trying to get across is exactly what I felt. So I've found that it's generally better for me not to watch. And when the work is, you know, when the work is done on the floor, it's done. Move on to the next. I have a place that I want to get to, and I would like to believe that you're in, you're out. That the expectations that I have for where that is gets higher and higher and higher.
Checked out by a doctor. Look, Dad, I don't know what you're talking about, all right, but I feel fine.
I know, it sounds crazy.
Especially with acting, which is it's such an interesting art form because there is no right answer. It's not math. It's not chemistry with a finite end. That it's never done. It's I think Orson Welles said it best, you know, when he talked about films. Films are never finished. They're just simply abandoned. And I feel that very much with performances as well.
So when you let it go, you let it go.
Yeah, you have to.
Yates, however, revised his poetry till his death.
Well, that's it. It's never over.
I guess the director's cut has given directors an opportunity to
rethink some of their
revisit their
choices.
Misery,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, get his photograph over to mall security. Tell them not to approach him.
Right, look, Jack, you're 20 minutes away by car. I can land a team there in 10 minutes.
Fine. Tony, I don't want you taking Chase.
Why not?
I just don't. Thank you very much. We'll notify you as soon as we have him in custody.
Please help our son.
O'Brien.
Chloe. She's fantastic. Her character is just so bewildering to me. And in all fairness, we haven't had a lot to do. I mean, most of the stuff from CTU I was gone for. She's just done such an interesting thing with that character.
And it's a great credit to Joel. I got to say that there was, you know, again, we weren't sure ourselves what to make of her, but Joel had seen her in Punch Drunk Love, fell in love with her.
Mm.
And Joel has an instinct sometimes that, you know, I don't always agree with, but find myself agreeing with.
Well, I'm grateful for it.
Yep. So this is the part, you know, look, this episode was born when we said, what are we going to do with Tony? Let's kill him. So for a very long time, it was entirely possible that what's about to happen was going to be permanent. Because truly, we were at a loss as to what to do with this character. And I believe he effected the most miraculous recovery short of your coming back from the dead last year.
He found out we were seeing each other, and this is how he's going to make me pay for it.
Take it up with Jack.
Somebody told me that they heard somebody downloaded that message and put it on their own.
Oh, dear.
Chase.
Is that legal?
I don't think so.
I know my dad can be hard, but he will come around.
How do you know?
Because I know my father.
Maybe you don't know him as well as you think.
What is that supposed to mean?
Nothing. It's okay. Get it.
Don't you think I feel bad enough already? Because I do.
We shouldn't have told him.
Well, the only other option I can think of is for us to stop seeing each other. Which, as far as I'm concerned, is not an option. Or is it? Chase, what do you want?
I want to be able to do my job.
Em, we need your ear station. Tony's about to land.
This was just over here. This was the mall here in Canoga Park. And I don't think I'd ever seen our crew so happy because they have the food court.
That's right.
You know, basically our whole day revolves around food and lunch. And the food court between the Chinese food, A&W, In-N-Out Burger, a variety of Italian pizza places. I've never seen everybody so excited.
Jack.
What?
I did a rotation in rehab. You learn to pick out when someone's using.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know exactly what I mean.
She's fantastic. She's fantastic. I loved her so much on NYPD Blue. NYPD Blue and ER, those were two shows that were a huge part of why I even would consider television as an option. I thought they were such excellent shows, and I thought they were so well done. And I thought she was fantastic in that show. So for me, it was an absolute pleasure.
It's empty, Jack.
The Coleman told you I'm fine.
I'm not so sure.
If you're not so sure, then turn me in.
I don't want to turn you in, Jack. I'm worried about you.
You don't have to be. I've kicked it.
Poor man's process for anybody who's listening to this. Is where the car is actually not moving and there is a rear screen behind you and it gives the illusion that you're in a car really moving on a street. It's its own art form working in those kinds of situations. You'll hear actors talking about working in green screen situations and reacting to nothing and then everything, all the background gets put in later. You know, it requires you to really be able to suspend your own disbelief and put yourself in a moment. And I think that anything that can challenge you in that area is only going to make you a better actor. But again, it's I feel more comfortable with it now than I did in year one.
Have your men cover all the parking level exits. Let's go!
I don't want to cause any kind of commotion.
Yeah.
CTU's here. They're about to move in on the kid.
Stand down. It's too hot.
This is my only chance. We can't let the kid get caught.
No, wait. I can't wait.
Don't miss.
Wait here. I want to make a clean grab.
Yes, sir.
My name's Tony Almeida. I'm a federal agent, but I'm here to help you. If what your father told you about your being sick is true,
I don't believe you.
You come with me, I'll prove it to you.
One of the things that I think has been so effective about the show is that just comes out of nowhere. You don't see the guy drawing his weapon. You don't have a 5-minute setup to allow yourself to wait for him to get shot. That him getting shot was shocking. And then also, just as an acting trick, because I know they didn't lay pipes to keep pushing and forcing the blood out of his neck, he had palmed in his palm a handkerchief soaked in blood. So when he's squeezing on his neck, he's actually squeezing this handkerchief, which is forcing the blood down his neck. And I thought he did that really well, because it's hard to do. And it looked very real. And I'm glad that he didn't die.
Me too.
Because he's a great actor and he's a really good friend.
Kyle Singer is not in custody. I repeat, Kyle Singer is not in custody. Maintain cover on all exits.
Thank you for watching.
No, thank you very much for watching this episode, and I hope you enjoy the entire DVD pack, and we look forward to seeing you for season 4.
Bye.
Bye-bye.